I don't like the monopoly on the technology. The main skill that you need is natural language, being able to articulate yourself. It's like, one of my favorite ways to use ChatGPT is they have a little record button. And sometimes you might think it's not going to know what I'm saying. I go ahead and click that record button and I say, "Hey, GPT, I stumble,
Exactly.
can you think your task role format?" It's going to take all that out. And then at the end of the conversation, just a little tip, do you understand? It'll tell you, "No, I don't understand what you're talking about." Or to say, "Yeah, I understand. Could you elaborate?" You know, there is the doom and gloom side of it, and everyone's, "Oh my goodness, it's going to take over every single thing and it's going to ruin the world." And it's like, okay, before we get there, let's use it to educate ourselves. Let's get on the same page a little bit. And I don't know if this is a little cynical, but I always say to people, you know, if the Terminators are coming, I want to know how they work a little bit.
Hi, and welcome to the 91 Day AI Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and I am on today with Terrence Ward. Terrence is from Philly, and he's going to be sharing some really interesting stuff with us today. Many of you know I run an AI prompting group on Facebook. We're just over 300,000 people now, and Terrence is one of the members there, and that's actually how we met. Terrence was adding just some incredible value in some posts, and I was admittedly totally blown away by his knowledge and everything else. And I said, "Man, Terrence, can we hop on the podcast?" And he graciously accepted. So, Terrence, thank you for joining us today. I'm so grateful you're here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. For people that aren't as familiar with you, I know a little bit of your backstory, but tell everybody else a little bit about where do you come from and how did you get into this AI stuff?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me. It's truly an honor to be on your podcast, especially as someone I look up to and clearly a mentor to myself and lots of other people. You provide an immense amount of value within your group, and it truly has helped me grow as a person and as a business owner. So I want to say thank you for that. A little bit about myself. So I'm originally from Philadelphia. I still live in Philadelphia, inner city kid. My background is I'm a millennial, as they say. So I grew up with the phone in my hand. I grew up on the computer, laptop in front of my face, and in the crypto times. And AI is kind of the next big shift in technology. And I've always been able to kind of embrace the shift in technology. And AI, I've just gravitated towards it. I'm not exactly sure why, but I would say it's the ability to really lower the barrier to entry to certain things. So if you're a creative or if you're someone who has great ideas, but you aren't able to execute them, the money that it takes to execute them now or the education that it takes to execute them now is completely different, you know, from maybe a few years ago. Well, not even maybe a few years ago, I would have never been able to, you know, I'd say maybe I would have learned it, but to code a landing page or to code a website or to kind of code an app or go step by step with those processes. And AI has allowed me to kind of learn those things. And as I've learned it and kind of embraced it, it dawned on me, you know, other people should probably be using this. And
absolutely.
If they aren't using it, then they're kind of, I mean, I hate to say it, but they're kind of doing a disservice to themselves. So that is the reason why I actually started to share some more of my content. It's why I started my business. I launched my business like a little bit over a year ago, and I started just with ChatGPT and just providing prompts for people. And that was my gateway into, okay, this is kind of cool. There's something there. You can kind of show a little bit of your skill level. And from there, I jumped into automation, and then I learned that the two go together hand in hand. And then it was like, well, you know what? I should be, you know, offering this to people as a service. But the main motivation for me wasn't necessarily money. It was that I don't like the monopoly on the technology. So if, you know, there are enterprise level, and that's great and grand, and I love it for them, and I see it throughout my daily life. I see the re-hit of the emails, the SMS, mm-hmm. the text message. We see it, we experience it, but we might not necessarily know what's going on. And then as I've grown in AI, I said, wait, they're running a simple trigger in automation.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Well, I love what a great way to get involved. I think, you mentioned automation, and I think that's as we're recording this today and going live, and this will be going live in early 2025. I think we've got a lot of people that have maybe played around with ChatGPT a little bit, maybe tried a few different things. But I think for many of our listeners, the thought of automating things is really that next step. They haven't really thought about that. I think 2025, candidly, my crystal ball is cracked and cloudy, but I think 2025 is going to have a lot to do with that marriage of AI and automation that you just talked about. I think that's going to be huge because, again, we can start to realize, like you mentioned, these massive corporations that are getting us information and we're like, how did they do that? Well, they're using AI and they're using automations and things like that. From your perspective, what type of things would you recommend? We've got listeners here that are deep into AI like you and I are. We've also got some that are just getting started with it. As you talk to your clients and people in your community and that, how do you recommend they get started with AI? What are some just, basic steps to get started? Any recommendations, Terrence?
Basic, like the most simple, easiest way, pound for pound. I hate to sound like an OpenAI spokesperson, but ChatGPT, it's the most accessible, it's free. Yeah. For the sake of, veritability, any large language model, whether it be Claude, whether it be Gemini, they all kind of use the same processes, which is natural language processing. If you're able to have a sentence, you're able to communicate with people, if you're able to kind of envision what it is that you want, you can change the way you view things. You can change the way you learn things. You can change the way your business operates. And it all comes down to communication. And that is kind of my background, my day job, or my previous day job background was in finance. So that is a lot of sitting down with people, talking with them one-on-one. I went from being a teller to being a relationship manager to being a senior relationship manager to being a banker. And then once I kind of came across AI and I realized that the main skill that you need is natural language, being able to articulate yourself, it's like, this is a skill that most everyone should have. Some people have a different level of skill with their communication, but it just kind of changed the way I view things. And then, like I said prior, the more you do AI, the more you learn automation, you kind of see things as variables. It's like, that's the variable they captured. That's how they were able to do that. Oh, I'm just a variable. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I would say, so number one, a large language model, right? Just a normal text model where you can talk to it. You can learn various things. Number two, a image model, same kind of deal. It's text to image. All you have to do is communicate what exactly you want. If you want cats and hats, that was super big. You want a dog in a pool, whatever, start with the text, go to image. And as we see already, the next big thing is kind of video, but they all use the same thing. It's natural language processing for the most part, right? Text to speech, text to audio, text to video. And I would say most people are able to do that, or should be able to do that. And practice makes perfect.
No, I agree with you entirely. I think that's some really good advice. And I want to dive in a minute here to the different models, because I do think a lot of people get confused. And especially, I know you and I are both working with other business people, and I'm going to claim who I am as some others. And that's that ADD entrepreneur. And so I see things all the time and I'm like, oh, that looks like a cool tool. And, oh, that's bright, shiny objects, really neat. I think when it comes to AI apps, one of the things you said that I so it so resonates with me, Terrence, is start with ChatGPT. Like you said, I mean, I make no money recommending them. I don't, you know, they don't even have an affiliate program that I'm aware of. You know, if they do, I want to know about it, but I don't think they do. The whole point, though, is it's a good model that gives you lots of flexibility. And like you said, you can get started for free and get most of those capabilities. There's a few things you don't get, but you get so much of it for free. And what's so cool about that to me is, especially if I'm trying to figure it out, maybe we even take a step away from the business owner perspective and we say, okay, I'm an employee, I'm working, I'm a part of a team somewhere, and I'd love to figure out how to use it. You don't have to go out and invest a lot of money to do that. You can literally use the free versions in many cases to help you do your job better. I was just talking the other day with a gentleman who's, of all things, a mechanic, and you'd go, okay, how's a mechanic going to use AI to figure things out? But yet he does on his phone when things come up. He's got all the service bulletins and he's got all the normal things that you'd expect. But one of the things he shared with me is, Jonathan, you don't know how long sometimes it takes me to find the right service bulletin to fix a vehicle. Now with AI, I can go on and especially now that we've got search capabilities built in, like with GPT search and Perplexity, which is another free AI tool that people can use. He goes, I can literally go, you know, give me a service bulletin about this vehicle this year regarding this topic. And he said, within seconds, I've got every service bulletin that's there. And now it saves me time. And he goes, the beauty is that saves the client time, which saves his customers money, and it makes him more efficient. And so he said he's literally, in his estimation, and I have not been able to validate this, but he thinks he can do 10 to 20% more work in a day now, work on more cars, get more stuff done. Nothing wrong with being a mechanic, because Lord knows I can't fix my own car. But it's amazing when you think about that something that, you know, on the surface we go, oh yeah, AI is great for marketing and AI is great for this and it's great for this, but it's good for just what we do on a day-to-day basis. And I love, again, going back full circle, how you recommend starting with it simple. Don't go spend a lot of money. Don't chase all those bright, shiny tools, most of which, in my opinion, are just lipstick on top of ChatGPT anyway, in many cases. exactly. An updated wrapper, exactly. And go from there. For that person that's doing that, since we're talking a little bit about team members and all that, as we're thinking about that, should they be accessing it on their computer? I'm looking here for my phone. Should they be accessing it on their phone? How does that work? Can you explain? You and I obviously know, but can you explain to our listeners, you know, do those accounts synchronize? Does it matter what device I'm on? What are your recommendations for those team members or those business leaders out there and going, again, just getting started? Where do they start using them? So we're with ChatGPT. We'll make that check mark. Now, do I use it on my phone? Do I use it on my computer? Or use it somewhere else? How do I do that?
So to your point, just to touch on what you previously said. I had a friend of mine, right? So I come from the banking world. I had a friend of mine who I was having a conversation with, and he's still heavily invested in the banking world. But what he told me is that he doesn't have a business, right? But his banking, his book of business is in the banking world, right?
Sure.
So the conversations that he's able to have are vastly different. The knowledge that he's able to grasp within a few moments. And maybe, you know, sometimes we read things and we might not necessarily retain it. But the beauty of this stuff is it's somewhere on that sidebar, right? You can go back and you can look at it. He told me the conversations he's able to have, the knowledge he's able to grasp in 1 to 2 minutes, you know, base level things like, hey, why do rich people do estate planning? Why do they have trust accounts? Why are lawyers bad with money? And he said,
yeah, exactly.
AI was like, it's because they spend so much time with their clients that they're not able to, you know, invest and do things like that. And it's like, okay, cool. So it changes his knowledge base. It changes the conversation, makes him more knowledgeable. It allows him to offer more assistance. And this is someone who's using it in his daily day to day. You don't always we have to be, you know, a business owner, but you should understand the tools that are out there to help you. And to move on to the next point, one of my favorite ways to use ChatGPT is on my phone. On this little device right here, it changes. It can change your conversation. It could change the way you view things. It can, I don't want to, you know, go crazy, but it can almost change your life, right? So one of my favorite ways to use ChatGPT is they have a little record button. And sometimes you might think, it's not going to know what I'm saying. I go ahead and click that record button and I say, hey, GPT, I stumble, like.
Exactly.
Can you think your task role format is going to take all that out? And then at the end of the conversation, just a little tip, do you understand? It'll tell you, no, I don't understand what you're talking about. Or it'll say, yeah, I understand. Could you elaborate? Or do you understand? If you don't understand, just ask me a few questions so that we can better make sure that we're on the same page. So my go-to is either the phone. Sometimes I like to double up. I'll talk on my phone and I'll have it up on my browser and I'll refresh the browser and let the stuff on the phone come through so that I'm able to kind of maximize it a little bit more. I know some people love the voice mode. I like the voice mode, but I don't really use it. I'd rather just talk to ChatGPT, let the text come out, and then watch the text. But I'll talk on my phone, watch the text come up on my browser, and then kind of take it from there. So I would say it's right here. It's in your pocket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Download an app. You know, make sure it's the right one. You know, there's a
I would say, yeah, let's make sure. Download the one from OpenAI, folks. If you're going to download, there's a bunch of them that look the same. I don't know why the App Store lets everybody do that, but download the one from OpenAI, because otherwise you're going to spend money for somebody that, again, put a wrapper on top of it and is making money. You know, I love what you say there. A couple things that I really, really appreciate. One, I thought I was the only one that thought voice was interesting, but more of a novelty. In other words, I suppose it's because I'm that ADD entrepreneur. I'm not patient enough to listen to it talk back to me. It just takes too long. I can read it a whole lot faster. But like you, I love talking to it. And, you know, earlier you were talking about how when you kind of realize that AI is a natural language model, when we can just speak to it. I find that the responses that I get back out of ChatGPT or Claude or Perplexity or any of the tools are so much better when I just talk to it, because I'm giving it more information. When I type, you know, I'm condensing. I'm not getting as much detail. Me being ADD, I'm in a hurry, so I'm not doing that. But when I talk, I can give it more detail. And so I think that's a great tip. I, like you, I record a lot of things, but I don't necessarily let it talk back. The other thing that you mentioned that I thought was just super relevant in that is that the ability to learn with it. I'm amazed, you know, when you think about ChatGPT being trained. The example I gave the other day, I was speaking actually in all places in Baltimore, so not too far from you. And one of the things that came up was, you know, what did it learn on? And I said, imagine every possible book in every possible library out there, and that ChatGPT has been trained on it. Now, it's not going to regurgitate, and I can't go, give me this book and tell me what's on page 17. It's not going to do that. But it's learned from that book, just like you and I would if we've read it. And therefore, I can absolutely help it in my day-to-day work. Maybe you and I, we've got a meeting coming up, and I'm like, okay, I know Terrence is from Philadelphia. I don't know a lot about Philadelphia. You know, so I could literally go to ChatGPT and say, ChatGPT, in fact, you know what? Let's do this, because I want to demonstrate how this works. Let's show everybody, instead of talking about it. So I'm going to go to my phone here, and I apologize in advance to everybody. I'm in an Airbnb right now traveling, and so I'm on my laptop, so this may not come through perfectly, but I'm going to try this. So we're literally going to use the ChatGPT app here. I'm going to go ahead and not use the voice mode, but I'm going to record. So I've got a meeting, a podcast I'm doing with Terrence Ward, and Terrence is from Philadelphia. I don't know a lot about Philly, but I'd love it if you could give me just a minute or two overview on what's happening in Philly today so that I could be more relevant to Terrence when I talk to him. Can you help me with that? All right, so we've done it. Let's see if it'll give us a... Oh, I didn't turn voice on. That was my mistake. So I'll read what it said. Let's see here. We're going to submit it. So it's thinking here. You guys may be able to see that. It's going to go ahead and think. I should have used voice. That would have been so much more impressive. As we're saying, we don't use that. But let's see what it said. So it said, certainly, here's a brief overview of recent developments in Philadelphia that might be relevant for your conversation with Terrence Ward. Public Health Initiative. It talks about a Philly Joy Bank pilot program. Talks about sports highlights, Philadelphia Eagles performance. The Eagles have been performing exceptionally well this year. I don't know, as I haven't been following, but you can tell me. Is that true?
That is true. I think we're on a 10-game winning streak. If you ever want to find a common ground with anyone from Philadelphia, you just go ahead and say anything about the Eagles, and they'll go, the Eagles? Oh, Jalen Hurts. Oh, A.J. Brown. And they're on your side.
I love it. And I just talked about some of those people. It said, you know, talk about two Eagles players, Jalen Carter and Zach Bond. And, you know, then it talks about community engagement. It's people that don't know. So this is awesome. It talks about some public transportation stuff. And then it even gives me sources to validate that that's actually real news and it didn't hallucinate. Now, again, it may or may not always be relevant. And that's just one example. But I love what you said. You know, maybe I'm trying to figure out, I'm meeting with somebody. I'm trying to figure out why, like you said, why do rich people do trust planning? And for that matter, what is trust planning? Maybe I don't know. Maybe I should know, you know, or maybe you're meeting with somebody, you know, maybe I'm sitting here in an Airbnb and we were commenting that the place could use some updated windows sometime. They're not bad, but they're not. Well, imagine I need that. I can now use ChatGPT to help educate me as a consumer on what type of windows I might want to put in. And even better, before I have to talk to the pushy window salesman, I could say, I got a pushy window salesman coming over. What things should I be aware of that, the tactics they may try to employ to push me into a product, and what things should I be asking them? And ChatGPT, because again, it's been trained on all of this, it could literally make you a really informed consumer in 5 minutes, right, and give you a better way to just run your life.
How are they going to try to persuade me? What type of emotional hooks are they going to use? Are they going to employ this tactic or this tactic? It will give you all of that. That's why I'm such an advocate for it. I mean, it's, you know, there is the doom and gloom side of it, and everyone's, oh my goodness, it's going to take over every single thing and it's going to ruin the world. And it's like, okay, before we get there, let's use it to educate ourselves. Let's get on the same page a little bit. And I don't know if this is a little cynical, but I always say to people, you know, if the Terminators are coming, I want to know how they work a little bit. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
I want to be a little knowledgeable. You know, they probably use natural language processing. Maybe I'll build my own Terminator one day. Who knows? You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. You know, it's something, one of the things I love to ask, and we've not prefaced this, so you may know from some of my posts, but there are a lot of fear mongers out there that are like, oh my gosh, like you said, AI, it's going to take all our jobs and we're all going to, you know, we're going to be in trouble and blah, blah, blah. I'll readily admit, I don't believe that's the case. Do I think there are going to be some people that are displaced because they're not going to embrace the technology? 110%. I'm actually seeing it happen. But what I'm seeing is a little different, and I'd love your perspective on this, Terrence. What I'm seeing is the people that are being displaced are the people that they're acting like an ostrich, and they're sticking their head in the sand, and they're going, I don't want to talk about AI. No, it's not going to happen. It's going to go away. Those are the people that are being replaced, but they're not being replaced by AI. They're actually being replaced by people that are embracing AI to do their job better, like that mechanic that I talked about, because he's able to do 20% more work. He's not being replaced. He's not likely to be replaced. But that mechanic that goes, I got time, I only got one job due today, no big deal, that mechanic may get replaced by the mechanic that's using AI. That's what I think is likely to happen. And the good news is that means any of us, because I think AI is very, very open to anybody that wants to learn it. Based on that, I think it's really up to us as individuals to embrace it and learn it. I'd love to get your thoughts on that, though. Again, right, wrong, or different, you don't have to agree. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, first, I do agree with that. You know, there's a double side to the coin, right? There is the point where it's, can it replace some seriously rudimentary type of things? Of course, but that's technology. You know, technology
exactly
is here to advance certain things. But I tell people this. Let's say you and I, right? We are in this space for the most part. We have an idea or a grasp on certain concepts. We can't know everything, like you said, the shiny objects. But there are people out there who context is king. They might be more well-versed in a certain topic. And because this AI thing operates with natural language processing and context, if you're able to provide more context and have an idea of what you want, your output generally is going to be a little bit better than mine's. You know, there's a few things that I can do to tweak it. You know, I could give it a role and say, no, you're the expert. But context is king. So the example that I like to use for people is photography. That's a big thing. And they're like, AI can never replace photography, or it is going to replace photography. But here's the thing, right? I don't have a background in photography. So I can go to a text to image model and I can have it do certain level things. But if there's that guy, he's classically trained in photography. He understands, okay, I need the lighting to be this. I need the aspect ratio to be this. I need the zoom to be this. I need it to be shot on an Nikon. You know, I know a little bit of that stuff, but his output generally is going to be better. So it's, you should take it as the more knowledge you have in your space, the more powerful you are with your outputs. It's not that you'll immediately be replaced. No, actually, you have an advantage. You have an advantage from people who aren't as knowledgeable and people who are just hopping on and they're going to say, okay, generate me an image of a cat in a hat, right? We'll just go with the cat in a hat thing. But as someone who's classically trained, they might say, generate me an image of a cat in a hat with this type of background and this type of lighting, and the angle is shot from the side and it's A&R. And, you know, it's all these different type of skills that change the way your output actually comes out. Context is king. So I would agree with that and say you're not necessarily going to immediately be replaced. In fact, you are empowered.
I love that. You know, one of the things I say so often, Terrence, to people is AI, in my mind, is it amplifies skill and experience. And it's just what you were saying there. You know, yeah, I can go out and if I'm not a photographer, I can make some pretty cool images on AI, admittedly. I'm not a graphic designer. I can do some pretty cool things. But what's amazing is when I see a graphic designer or a photographer or somebody, again, we'll go back to the mechanic friend of mine, when they take the skill that they have, and then they can use it to amplify that so much more. You know, the example I often give is, let's just say we rate everybody on a scale of 1 to 10 on skill. And when it comes to graphic design, I'm a 3 because I'm not real good at it. I maybe I'll be generous and say I'm a 5. But that I'm not a graphic artist that's at an 8 or a 9 or a 10. Well, if I use AI, I might literally, let's just say it doubles my capacity. I can take that 5 and all of a sudden I'm a 10. Woohoo! And I see how graphic artists are like, oh man, they're no better at this than what I am. I'm in danger. But the reality is, if that same graphic artist takes AI and they're at that 8 or that 9 and they double it, they just went to an 18 to 20. Yep. And all of a sudden that pales my 10. And so they've actually, by a magnitude of multiplication, they've expanded that gap between their skill and my skill. And that means, again, they can do things better, they can do things faster, they can do things more efficiently, and probably do things that they've never done before. I'm teaching a course right now on how to do virtual AI photo shoots. I'm an avid amateur photographer, but I'm not a pro. And one of the things we did putting this together, which was so interesting, is we talked to a number of professional photographers. And I am blown away by the things that they know about photography that even I, as a guy who owns a bunch of cameras and considers myself pretty good amateur, they know things that I never even heard of, don't know about, lighting and posing and things like that. And you're right. When we put those things into the model and say, okay, Jonathan's prompt was, all right, I want a picture of this in this environment and everything else. It's going to do that and it's going to look decent. But when my professional photographer friends that I work with do that, they bring it to an entirely new level of photo because they talk about lighting and they talk about stance and they talk about the background. And like you said, even to the point with AI, you can talk about specific camera bodies and specific camera lenses, and it will change the output of the image. So I love what you're talking about, because I do so believe that AI amplifies skill and experience. And I got to admit, I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions that I think people have, is they don't understand that, yes, AI may allow somebody with less skill to be comparable to you, but you with AI can just catapult ahead of where they're at.
You're going far. Exactly. You are spot on with that. It changes everything. So to that point, is with photography, I'm in a few. First, let me say, love your photos. I see them all the time. You know, you in a classroom, you on a beach, you in with a certain background, with this background, and it looks like you and is clearly trained and is masterful, right? But I'm also in a few specific photography groups, and some of the things that I see posted in the group, it's an AI photography group.
Yeah.
Some of the things that I see posted in that group are miles ahead of what even my brain think of. Like they had a slideshow of people who were in water, like half of their face was in water, half was out, and I was like, I wouldn't even have thought of that. Like, I would not have thought to have half the face that have to face in, have to face out, and it just kind of be HD, and it highlights the skin and the lips and the nose, and it's like, that is them amplifying their skill to a whole new level.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I see that across the board. One of the things I often say is, you know, I don't know anything about heart surgery or cardiology. I could learn a lot from AI, and admittedly, I could. And if I was going to go have dinner with a cardiologist, AI'd be a great tool for me to learn just enough to have a good conversation about it. But if anybody was dumb enough to let me cut into their chest, No. I mean, that would be dangerous. I might be able to sound like one, but I certainly am not one. And AI doesn't make you something you're not. Right. The example I often use is that, you know, if I think back to my grade school days, zero times anything is still zero. So if I don't have any skill in a topic, AI is not going to make me masterful at it. Now, AI may be able to help me teach me that skill and get me to a one or a four or a five or a six, maybe even up to an eight or a nine with enough work. But I still had to be involved in that. AI didn't just do that. I simply used AI in the same way that I might, you know, say maybe a higher risk is that educator. Nothing against educators, but maybe that educator who is saying, okay, I want to be able to teach people how to, you know, diagram a sentence. I probably don't need, and I may be wrong, but I probably don't need a teacher anymore to teach me how to diagram a sentence, because AI can probably do that really well at my pace. Let me ask questions, and I almost get one-on-one tutoring that I can't get in a classroom setting. But I hope, and if there's any educators listening, I will say I hope that educators start embracing AI because of what it could mean in the classroom. Because the same thing we've talked about, now if we can take that teacher who knows how to teach and how to relay topics, and they can use AI in conjunction. You know, I think back to Miss Overzet, who was my English teacher when I was in middle school. And, you know, I'll never forget her. She was a great teacher. But had she been able to use AI with her incredible knowledge and her incredible teaching demeanor and the care and the compassion that she had for her students, boom. I mean, I would have actually liked English class. You know, it would have been really cool.
I will say, to that point, that's actually a great point. And to that exact point, it can teach you, you know, one-on-one, some tutoring, and it'll take you from a one to possibly an eight, like you said, but the scale doesn't even stop at 10, right? So that eight not mean that you're 2 points off from master. That's not exactly true. I had a friend that she actually is an educator, and I was telling her about AI, and she was kind of hesitant at first.
Sure.
You know, some people are a little hesitant, especially in the educator field. The plagiarism thing, they feel like it doesn't allow people to use their creativity. And I said, wait, you have a lot of context. You know, sure, I can go to AI and I say, drum me up a 30-day lesson plan. It might come out and it might look relatively good, but the added context of how a lesson plan should be structured, where are the key points in a lesson plan, where the test should lie, all of these type of intricate kind of things that you would actually have knowledge on as an educator changes the output. And I spoke to her about that one-on-one, and then the next time I seen her, she had put together a whole presentation with AI, and she was like, you know what, Terrence, it did amplify my skill, and it was able to teach me as well as create a full lesson plan in Spanish.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love to see it. And I'm happy that you embrace it. And I know that it all it does is really amplify how you're able to teach, how much you're able to teach, and how much you're able to kind of devote your time to it. And of course, there's a little bit more extra that you may have to do. You might take your lesson plan and go to Canva, and there's an extra step. This will probably segue into your next bit, but it's not the one size fits all thing. It's not going to do 100% of the work, and then you'll just be absolved from doing anything. That's not how AI works. But if you understand that, and you are an educator, and you want to use it to amplify your skill set, the way you connect with people, the way your kids are able to kind of learn, it will help you.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you're right. You make a really good point there. I see that all the time in my group. People are like, you know, I want to have an AI that's going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, and then all through A to Z, everything. And I'm like, no. That's not what AI does. The analogy I often use, I don't know if you remember that it was Office Max or Office Depot used to have these commercials with the easy button. Maybe they still do, but I don't watch TV very much anymore. But I remember this big red button. It said easy button. They made everything easy. AI doesn't make everything easy, but it does make everything easier in my mind. And that, I think, is the key. I just had a conversation with a client yesterday, and we're working on a process with their team. And we've been able to shave the time it takes their team to do something. Used to take them about 4 hours. We've got it down to about an hour. And he said very candidly, he goes, Jonathan, I'm really happy. An hour is great, but I was kind of hoping we'd get it down to like 5 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I get where you're coming from here. But I said, let's talk through this a minute. I said, you have five people involved in this team, in this particular case. And I said, when the new project comes in, based on what happens, you give information, they then come up with a bunch of things, blah, 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 blah. And I said, it takes about 4 hours. So we're talking 20 person hours, man hours, to right. get this done. And he goes, yep. And I said, we've got that down to 5 man hours to do that now. And I said, you and your team both feel the work product is actually better than what you were doing before, but the team's still very much involved. I mean, they have to be involved. And I said, imagine what that did for that team. How many times projects or times a week could they do that? And he goes, well, you know, it took about 20 hours. So every team basically got about 2 projects a week. And I said, do you realize now you just went from 2 projects a week? Let's just say we went crazy and gave them 10 projects a week. He goes, okay, I see where you're going. And I said, so a tenfold increase in productivity. He goes, yeah, but they've still got 20 to 30 hours left every week at that point. And I said, don't worry about that. Look at the tenfold increase in productivity you were able to get. And now let's say we don't even expect them to do it in an hour, but we expect them to do it in 2 hours. And now they've got time to think, they've got time to improve. And now we can even make this process better and the end result and the product better than what we do. So you can actually deliver more value to your clients in half the time. And I said, here's the beauty. If you deliver more value to your client and you're not raising your prices and you do it in half the time, two things happen, and you could raise your prices. But one, you're creating a stickier client who's less likely to leave because your competition isn't going to have this efficiency figured out. And two, you're just doubled your profit as a company because you can now do twice as much work at the same point you're at. And I said, that means you can pay your employees more money. You can invest in more training. You can give them more time off. You know, I just had one of my team members, they just had their first baby, had a new son. And he's like, I'll be back at work tomorrow. Really? And I'm like, you're not going to be back at work tomorrow. Take 3 days off. And he's like, but I don't have the time. And I'm like, dude, I don't care. It's your first baby. Go and be with mom, be with the baby, enjoy this time. You're never going to have this back. As an employer, did I lose 3 days? Well, yeah, but so what? I gained so much value by doing that for my team member, who I want to do it for because I cherish them and they're valuable to my team. I'm able to create a better lifestyle for them at the same time. And we all know in a competitive job environment, what's that mean? It means people are more likely to stay and continue working with me as an owner. And all of that comes together. Why? Because we leverage AI. And that's where it gets so exciting to me. It's so much beyond saving 10 minutes. It'll save us 10 minutes, but it's beyond that. Even in a personal basis, I've got a friend of mine who takes a lot of my courses, and he's focused on it from a parenting perspective and how it can help you parent and understand your kid. And I did this. My youngest is 17. He's into Dungeons and Dragons. I know nothing about Dungeons and Dragons, but the other day I said, you know what? I need a crash course on Dungeons and Dragons because I want to have a conversation with my son. I want to let him know I appreciate what he's doing. I don't get it, but I want to still be involved in it. Right. And I spent about a half hour getting a crash course. And it was so funny because he and I were going somewhere and I brought it up and I dropped a couple of hints. And he looked at me and he goes, Dad, when did you learn about Dungeons and Dragons? And I'm like, well, I don't know a lot, but I'm interested in it. And what was so cool as a parent at that point, he didn't care. He even said later, he goes, you used ChatGPT, didn't you? And I'm like, of course I did. He goes, you know what I like? And I go, what do you like? He goes, you actually took the time to do that. He goes, and we had almost a 3-hour conversation about things because what did I like as a dad, he saw that I cared and it gave me a tool. I'm sorry. I'm not the type. I wasn't going to go buy a book and read up on the Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not interested in it, but was it worth 30 minutes of my time to have 4 hours with my kid in a great conversation and have him think that and realize that I care? Well, that was awesome.
That is beautiful. And that is the other side of AI. To hit both sides, first of all, for your client, you hit time saved and productivity. That is clearly equals growth, right? Yep. Reduce man hours, which is equal to cost, right? So you become more efficient at what you're doing. And it kind of changes the way that your whole business operates. Now, to go from 5 hours to 2 hours or from 5 to 1, that is a huge difference over the month. Now, if we talk about over the month, then we can talk about over weeks, and then we can talk about over the year. And then what are you paying over the year? Because we just, you just reduced that quite a bit while amplifying how much product. But that's one side of it. The thing that I really love that you said is you were able to connect with your son, right?
Yeah.
It's not always about money. It's not always
exactly
about how much time you can save doing this or doing that. Like I have a video on my page where I had a client who he called me and he told me that he was going out for a walk because I built him an AI chatbot that took all his onboarding needs. It took all his onboarding and then it automated the process, sent out contracts, all of this type of deal. But he was calling me. He was like, yeah, I'm going for a walk. And I'm like, you going for a walk? This is a guy, you know how it is when you're starting a business or you're in business, you might sit in your house 10, 12 hours a day. I would hop on a meeting with him and he would have like the shades down, he'd be locked in. I would be like, you got to get out the house, bro. That's why I'm here for you. It's not, I want you to make more money. I want you to save time with what I'm providing you. But really, that mental health type of deal where you just go and you get some sunlight, you go to the gym a little bit, you go for a walk. That's the stuff that's why I do what I do. So to hear you say that you were able to connect with your son, that's the other side of AI, not the doom and gloom.
Yes.
But, we just want to do our finances and we just want to save some time. No, you can talk to it about anything. You can
absolutely
talk with the people close to you because you just had a simple conversation. And that is like, that's beautiful. That's the excitement. Like, I feel like I'm more excited about that than just like making money or time saving. I don't know why that just puts a big smile on my face.
Well, I appreciate it. But I think it's relevant, though, and I think it's important for our listeners to know that it is about more than just making money. AI can impact us positively in so many ways. You know, I love it. I always say AI is a tool. It's like a hammer. A hammer can be used to build something. It can be used to tear something down. Not picking on Philly, but in the inner seats of Philly, it could probably be used to kill somebody. So a hammer isn't the bad thing, though. It's what's being done with the hammer. And I see AI as the same way. It's how we utilize it. And if we're going to just allow the people that are going to try to take advantage of every situation to use AI, they're going to do it. Let's then work on the other side and use that for good, for positivity, whether that be in our business, in our marriage, in our with our kids, our family, our community, wherever that is. And like you said, I loved what you just shared. When was the last time, and anybody listening to this podcast, that you had enough time in the day to go, I'm going to go take a walk. It's 3 p.m. That never happens in business. AI can make that a reality, and it can give you just that extra breathing room that improves your life, improves your health, improves everything that you're doing. I think that was a great, great point, Terrence. So as we bring things in for kind of bring the plane in here, I'd love to let people know if they've been inspired by what you've been sharing and they'd like to reach out to you. How do people reach out and connect with you, Terrence?
So you can reach out through my Instagram. You can reach out through my website. I just launched a new website, which is called AIAgentBuilds.com. That's straight up AIAgentBuilds with a S.com. And what we do over there is pretty much AI integration, chatbots, voice bots, agents that kind of take action on data that comes in and kind of streamlines the process. So that's our main source of contact. Of course, if you DM me on Instagram or if you connect with me on Facebook, I'm pretty active inside the group. You know, your group, Terrence C. Ford is my Facebook name. I'm pretty open to DMs. You know, if you do DM me, you have a question about AI, I'm not going to drop a link and say, you know what? Let me get that $100 an hour first. You know, I'm going to say, oh, well, tell me a little bit about your project. Tell me what you got going on. You know, I'm going to at least attempt to provide that value up front, because that's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, letting it be a monopoly on it. And I'll say one more thing before we get out
please.
Of here.
Please. Yeah, please.
Another underutilized case for AI, right? Sometimes you may find yourself, and I'm going to speak about this, and some people might deal with it, some people might not deal with it. You may find yourself feeling down, or you may find yourself feeling anxious. You know, life can kind of do that to you, right? It could beat you down a little bit. I've had moments where, you know, business is a lot. You know, I might be up 10, 12 hours. I might, maybe I didn't eat as well as I should have that day. Maybe that affected my mood. Any number of reasons. You know, it's winter time. It gets dark a little bit early.
It does.
Seasonal depression is a real thing for people. I've had moments where I feel anxious. I feel, you know, the unknown is coming up. I'm embracing a new path in my life and, you know, with business and things of that nature. And sometimes I go to AI and I'll have a prompt where I'll say, hey, I'm feeling like this. My mood is like X, you know, I'm feeling down. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling maybe fearful about what the future holds for me. Can you provide me a scripture? And it doesn't have to be whatever your religion is, whatever your spirituality is. It has some sort of training on that.
It does. Rather,
the Bible, rather it's the Quran, rather it's whatever. I'm feeling like this. Can you provide the scripture to help me overcome that or help me embrace that feeling and know, you know, my Lord is with me, you know, and it changed. It will help you, and you can read it as a tool and allow it to empower you that same way. So
powerful.
That has been something that's definitely helped me as well.
Dude, so powerful. I, man, I, This is maybe our first conversation in person, but it will not be our last. I can promise you, man. I so love where your mind and your heart is at with all this and the way that you handle things. Again, a huge kudos to you for just, you know, embracing this. And again, thank you for your time, for sharing with us and all that. I'm grateful. We'll put all of your links up here in the podcast as well. And I encourage you, if you've been inspired by Terrence, reach out, man. Touch base with the man. He's the real thing. He really is. So,
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
With that, everybody, we thank you for hanging out for the podcast. We so cherish you. We love your comments. Give us a thumbs up, subscribe, and we'll see you guys on the other side. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.